through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim.
Kia ora.
How are you this morning?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
That's good. There's some lovely songs this hour so far.
Yes, I mean, total vibe change up between...
Some big old vibe change.
Unsanitary Napkin and French for Rabbits, both extremely righteous energies, I'm not going to lie.
Love them both. Very much the definition of BFM, going from that song to the next one.
It is.
So on Media Bat today, I want to kick off with a content warning because I've got a story that relates to suicide. So if that's something that you don't have the capacity for right now, I'll be done in like 4 or 5 minutes. Rachel will be back to tunes, so you can go and have a listen to something else. It's a bit nicer for a bit.
Cool. Thank you, Tim.
So the first story today is one that a lot of listeners may already be aware of, but it was reported last night that sports broadcaster Martin Devlin is currently in hospital after making an attempt on his life. This comes after a couple of investigations inside of NZME about recent workplace incidents involving Devlin, which were triggered by a public apology that he made about his behaviour in the workplace. NZME had these investigations. They were not made public, but they ultimately cleared him of wrongdoing. Excuse me. He was due to come back to work very soon, I think this week or next week. There was then a third investigation that was announced by NZME. Devlin came forward earlier this year in the wake of some of these complaints with his struggles with mental health. The police and NZME were both asked for comment by staff, but neither has commented so far. St John's did confirm that they attended an incident, and Stuff managed to report on this after talking to Devlin's ex-wife, with whom he's got a 20-year-old son, and it was the ex-wife and the son who found Martin and called the ambulance on Monday night. Devlin's family have been highly critical about the way the media has reported on the complaints and how they've been dealt with at NZME. I've talked about Martin Devlin on this segment several times, as regular listeners will know this year, and I hope it goes without saying that myself and all of us at BFM are rooting for Martin's physical recovery and really hope that he's able to get the help and resources that he needs to put the pieces back together. Martin's ex-wife, Andy, she posted on Twitter this morning saying the following: "We are overwhelmed in a good way and incredibly grateful for the thousands of sincere and supportive messages. Martin was in a dark place excuse me, and didn't think anybody cared anymore. He's been profoundly moved by your messages. If you're listening to this and struggling with your mental health, we've got a tweet up at BFM's account with some resources. Additionally, though, depression.org.nz has got a ton of resources and links, and if you need to speak to someone at the moment, Lifeline's number is 0800 543 354. Youthline is 0800 376 633, and they're also available by text on 234. Our next little bit today is the continuing saga of the merger of RNZ and TVNZ. Still going, still happening.
Still rolling down the track.
So work is continuing around the country on making a charter is what they're doing at the moment. KPMG is facilitating a bunch of workshops that are happening around the country, talking to 45 different organisations on behalf of the Ministry of Culture and Heritage to see what's going to be in this charter. It is going to be particularly interesting for TVNZ because Radio New Zealand, as far as I know, have had a charter forever.
Long time, yeah. I think pretty much since it started.
Yeah. And that's been their sole sort of guiding principle and obligations. They don't make money, so they've never had a financial imperative whatsoever that they have to report on. TVNZ, on the other hand, is a state-owned enterprise that used to have a charter for many years. The John Key-led national government removed it in 2008, so they've been completely decoupled from a charter for ages, so they haven't had those obligations and have just had to return.
So what is a charter from the get-go? What does a charter do? Is it like
question.
A statement of intent? What's its vibe?
I think I've actually got... I think it
is.
What's
the vibe?
It's the constitution, it's Mabo, it's the vibe. that's a quote from a movie. I think I've got the exact... I'm just trying to find it, the exact wording. Here we go. I'm so glad you asked, Rachel. The charter would define the purpose, objectives and operating principles of the new public media entity and would also be part of a social contract with New Zealanders,
okay,
according to Newsroom's reporting. There's also going to be some special workshops undertaken with Māori, which will happen from now in about a week's time.
And this is looking towards the merger, not just for any this, of those in particular?
This reporting's about the charter being made, which a lot of the direction for what the organisation has to do. And there's been very interesting conversations around... I guess how seriously this government is treating its obligations under Te Tiriti versus perhaps if it was an alternative government in charge, and what that will mean for example, other groups of New Zealanders who are neither Pākehā nor Māori in New Zealand. So yep. there's a lot of sort of pieces to fit together there. So it's the timeline's, it's speeding up. The business case is due to be presented to Cabinet in October this year.
Crikey, that's actually quite soon now, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and legislation is scheduled for 2022. So despite the fact that, I mean, I think it was the first thing when I started doing this segment, like, what, 2 years ago almost, I think?
Yeah, something like that. I don't even know now.
And then everything got put on ice because of COVID, but now it's like... It's happening.
So.
It's a weird one as well, because I think we're still in this realm where obviously the idea of what it's going to be is basically being worked out now, but there is a lot of, you know, confusion still about what's actually that going to look like. What is a merger between these two separate, quite different entities actually going to look like? I think there's still kind of a bit of trepidation around that perhaps as well in the sector. It's going to be a really interesting one to follow. Particularly with this charter, I think.
The media does love reporting on itself and inflating its own importance. And I do say that
who's the fairest of them all?
As a media commentator, it's great, yeah. But, I really do think this is going to be super consequential for the country and for years and years and decades to come. So I hope they get it right. Let's see. And just to end on what is, in my humble opinion, a good news story. And I'm ripping most of this one because I kind of ran out of time at the end. So most of this is basically from a press release, so you'll get the glossy version. But the New Zealand Herald's parent company, NZME, has teamed up with News Hub, Māori Television and the Pacific Media Network to create a $2.4 million Te Rito Journalism Cadet Scheme. So this program is going to train and develop 25 new journalism cadets, including those from Māori, Pacific and other communities who are traditionally underrepresented in the media. It's just been announced this week by NZME. I was trying to figure out the funding. I'm pretty sure they referenced New Zealand on here, and I don't know how even a combination of media companies in New Zealand could come up with 2.4 mil themselves. So I'm pretty sure this is government funded, but apologies for not having those details right now. It's called Te Rito. It's kicking off in February next year. 15 of the cadets will be at NZME's Auckland offices, and 10 will be fluent in reo, and those cadets will be at Māori Television. And NZME's Head of Cultural Partnerships, Louise Ture, described the collective approach by the four media companies as, quote, unprecedented.
We love that word.
A word we have not heard in some time.
Who is that word? I don't even know. Hey, thank you very much for that, Tim. How's the old comedy tour been? Just as a personal note, what's been happening in your life? How's the comedy thing?
Bloody lovely. If you want to see some live comedy, got Di Hemwood headlining a show coming up.
Sick. Nice.
At a comedy show called Hump. So if you just Google Hump Comedy, when's it happening? It's happening soon. I think that one's on the 3rd of August. I'm pretty sure. That's Fridge and Flagon. You guys been to Fridge and Flagon?
Nah.
It's good.
Okay.
I don't know what the laws are on mentioning alcohol on the air. I've forgotten.
After 9, I think
they,
probably
I don't
right
know.
Now.
They sell beer. They're a beer bar. It's just cool.
Hey, well, thank you very much for that one, Tim. Have a lovely rest of your morning. And if anyone wants those links, we'll be putting them in the podcast as well, as Tim mentioned. They are up on Twitter as well. If you follow Tim or the BFM account, you'll be able to find it. So thank you very much, Tim. Have a lovely rest of your morning.
You too. Bye-bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.